This is Empowered Human Academy. Welcome home.
This is about love. This is about light. This is about the idea that you contain everything you will ever need.
And this life of yours, this is where you expand, you grow, and you remember who you are.
I'm Abe.
I'm Isaac.
In Empowered Human Academy, we join with humans of all kinds to feel the inspiration that can only come from empowered living.
The stories you hear today are unique, but the energy you hear today is yours too. So, with hearts wide open, let's begin.
Thank you for being here.
Hey crew,
this episode is Pay What Feels Good. Rather than pulling in sponsors and paid advertisements, we are excited to try something different. I'll talk more about this at the very end of this episode, or you could read more at empoweredhumanacademy.com.
Hello, empowered humans. Welcome back. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to invite you to join us for our newest Lightword adventure that we're calling Lightword Together. If you've been craving intentional support, inspiration, and community, centered on the ideas of creating your dream life and living well, then Lightword Together is for you. Our next group coaching session is coming up January 31st, and you can sign up at lightword.com/together. We'd love to feel you there with us. Now, on to today's episode.
Today's guest is innovator, creator, and restaurant owner Jennifer Peters. Jennifer is the creative force behind one of our favorite restaurants of all time, Just Be Kitchen. As the only Whole30 certified restaurant headquartered in Colorado, it's truly a gem, and we easily order it multiple times a week. If you're in the Denver area and have not yet tried their fulfilled burrito, I'll put it lightly and say that your life will be changed forever. Honestly, it's transcendent.
Throughout this conversation, we discuss how the universe always has our back, even when we don't realize it. We explore how taking action can help keep you in touch with your power, how to set intentions from the starting point of how you want to feel, and how to attract what you are by being the one you are waiting for.
Jennifer is an inspiring example of moving through life with intention while also being flexible enough to adjust when things take an unexpected turn. It makes so much sense that she's the energy behind a restaurant with a mission that Abe and I resonate with so much. We felt connected to Jennifer for a long time through her nourishing food, and it was such a joy experiencing her energy in real time through this conversation. We're so grateful that Jennifer exists, and we are inspired by how she stays inspired to keep experimenting and creating. So let's get into it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Empowered Human Academy. Today we have an amazing guest that we're so excited to have a conversation with, Jennifer Peters. I'm not going to even say anything about you yet. We have in our intro, but we're going to just get into this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited for this chat about life and food and everything. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored.
Yeah. Okay. So the very first question that we always ask is, who are you to yourself? Not when you're introducing yourself to somebody else, not when you're networking, not when you're writing an email. When you come home, who are you to yourself? What words of identity do you choose?
Oh, I love this question. So I think of myself as a very mindful person. Mm. So I'm very mindful with myself in my home and the space that I create around me. I'm extroverted, like, because I own a business and I talk to people, but I crave gen time, and I spend a lot of my day and my minutes kind of like making sure that I'm balanced. Mm. So I don't know if that's maybe introspective or mindful. Sure. Is how I would describe it.
Yeah, cool. How does taking care of your space play out in the spaces that you traverse throughout the day? So like you take care of your home. What does taking care of your space look like as you're running a business? We'll talk more about that later. But yeah, as you're going throughout your day, what does taking care of your space mean?
Well, apart from my car, which is very messy and full of all the dog stuff. I mean, for me, that means being around people whom inspire me and who I can have meaningful discussions with. I've said a lot recently, particularly through 2020, is that I'm no longer interested in having meaningless conversations with individuals. So, and that goes for like my social circle, but the guests that come into our restaurant I feel like they're very mindful and interesting and just empowered in their own ways. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the vendors and suppliers that we work with. So the people who I have around me, the spaces in which I'm going to be spending a lot of time with. So, you know, if you come into our space at Just Be Kitchen, it's a very calming some say meditative, some say inspiring space. And a lot of people who walk into the restaurant are like, my gosh, this looks like your house. And a lot of people who walk in my house are like, oh, it looks like the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So it's spaces that make me feel really alive, yeah, and both calm, but also alive and inspired.
Totally, totally. I have a vivid memory of, I think it's a Roald Dahl quote on the wall of your dining area. Those who do not believe in magic will never find it, I think. I was really struck by that and the way that the way that your restaurant feels. And it doesn't surprise me to hear that your home space feels like that also. Mm-hmm. But can you talk to me a little bit about that, about creating a space professionally that feels like the rest of you also? Like, I've heard it said, how you do one thing is how you do everything. What did you set out to do with Just Be Kitchen, and how does that reflect who you are as a person and who you are when you're not there?
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a different direction, but a kind of a theme that has played in my past and an area of healing that I've had throughout the years of my life is a feeling of abandonment. Mm. And so the antidote to abandonment is connection. And so when I think of Just Be Kitchen, you know, yes, we're a restaurant. I venture to say we're more than a restaurant, but it's about creating a space where connection can happen and having the mindful moment and caring about one another. That's nourishment through the food, but nourishment through connection. Yeah. And so that's how it goes on to like the wellness events that we do. It's all about creating space and connection for people.
Yeah. I love that. And I think I resonate with a specific piece of this, which is like your restaurant is not just a restaurant. I kind of feel like that about my company. Like on paper, I do software, but that isn't what it feels like for me. How do you talk about that relationship with people who are curious, right? Like it's not just a restaurant. There's a thread in here that runs deeper.
Yeah. And I hate the word just because owning a restaurant and operating a restaurant is so hard. Hmm. So, but I say that, so I feel bad sometimes when I say it's just we're not just a restaurant.
Much respect.
I feel bad when I say that. So I really, and 2020 has really brought this to life for me, but I've always started this company with the idea of being the Chipotle of gluten-free and a broader vision of just improving overall wellness. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, as we've evolved, and we've only been around for 3 years, but as we've evolved, we have gotten into, you know, more wellness content. Mm-hmm. We've gotten into wellness events. Mm-hmm. And so, and then here comes 2020, where we're in the middle of a healthcare crisis. And I feel like our purpose has been able to shine even more in terms of this is food that is immune boosting, anti-inflammatory, that is going to keep you nourished during the biggest health crisis that we've mm-hmm. been around, or at least I've been around for. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, so that's how I feel like we're more than, you know, a restaurant. We don't mm-hmm. just to deliver the food. Food is certainly at our core, mm-hmm. but there's so many facets. And, you know, and our customers want that. Our customers like the content. They like the newsletters and the social media and stuff that's about things that are broader than the nourishment through the food. So we nourish in other ways.
What brought you to a point where you wanted to start this concept of a restaurant that was more than a restaurant, but it was this kind of movement towards individual health and empowerment?
And connection, right?
And connection, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been in the corporate world my whole life. I've never been in the restaurant industry. So you can do anything you want, really. So I just felt like I could make great money and be happy, like, okay, but it was really soulless to me. And I just knew that I could do more. Like, I did not feel like I was living my best self. I didn't feel like I was doing anything necessarily taking me backwards per se, although if I had stayed in that, I probably would have. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I wasn't inspired. It just wasn't part of me. And I felt like I had this corporate gen. And then I had this other life where I explored and did the things that were really important to me around health and wellness and mindfulness. And there was just a gap. And so I really wanted to close the gap between who I was and then what I did.
I love that so much, especially coupled with the fact that like it was a jump from corporate to now food. Like people who have multiple backgrounds, like that's super interesting. Why food?
Well, I've been a foodie my entire life. I actually lived overseas for most of my life. And I've seen more of the world than I have of the US. So I have a lot of catching up to do here. Mm. And part of that experience of travel for me is really about food. And so I've always been both interested in the travel aspect of food. And I've been like, I was a vegetarian for 15 or 17 years. And then I went vegan. And then I saw a health coach and I started to incorporate into like more of a paleo diet. And so I've always been just fascinated with food and understanding more and exploring it. So, but really the part of food that makes me come alive mm-hmm. is what you do at the table with other mm-hmm. people. And there is something about sharing a meal that's so nourishing and fun and exciting. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm one of those people who will pick off your plate. So, you know, maybe don't eat with me, but I love the idea Same. Of everybody sharing and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I knew I wanted to do something in food and I knew that I was pretty fairly sure I wanted to start a business, but I didn't know what it was. And I did not think it was a restaurant.
So what did that jump look like and feel like then? Because I feel like you mentioned a little bit ago, like you can really do anything. What was going through your mind and how has that played out for you in the last 3 years?
So I basically knew that I wanted to do something different career-wise. I didn't have like exactly what that was. So I decided to go to MBA school. And I decided to go to MBA school over here, even though I was living in London, England. And so I was traveling back and forth to MBA school. And we had this class and we had to pitch a concept. And the class then had to vote on the concept. So I pitched Just Be Kitchen and the class voted on it. And so we started to work on it. And basically, and then my professor was like, I think this is pretty interesting and could have some legs. So let me introduce you to the former, who is now the former CEO of Burger King and Olive Garden, Seasons 52. Cool. And he had stepped down from Burger King because he wanted to incorporate more of, he wanted to work with a healthier kind of better food sure, company. Sure. And he and I just kind of got on a phone and he was helping me really with the with what was going on in the project of the classroom. But then he basically said, you know what? I feel like there's something that's kind of coming alive here with you. If you ever want to talk offline, let me know. And it just so happens, like this is how divine intervention works is he happened to be from the town that I grew up in Florida. We grew up, you know, 7 minutes from where I live. It's just like crazy. And so I flew over and what was supposed to be a half day of like just connecting ended up being like over a year where he just took me under his wing and it just evolved, you know?
And what was like a aha or like, what were some moments of like, wow, what were some moments that wowed you from learning from him over the years?
I think one of the things that Brad said to me that has stuck with me forever is he said, I can't tell you if you're going to fail or have success, but I can tell you that doors are going to open up along the way and your journey is part of that. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, it's right? You know, like you might jump into the unknown and you may fail, you know, but you're just not like, you're just not going to go backwards in life. Like things will open up along the way.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about divine intervention and a thing that I felt when I walked into your, when we walked into your restaurant a year ago or two for the first time, we were like, wow, like we were just so delighted because that is the way that our house is. People come in and they feel inspired. They feel safe. They feel connected. What does divine intervention look like for you? And what does it feel like? And maybe kind of explain it in your own words for our listeners.
Yeah. So there is a quote on the wall that says the universe always has your back. And I do believe that everything that's happening is working for us rather than against us. Now, it's hard to sometimes feel that way all day, every day, but I genuinely feel that. And I like, you know, we're talking about this year, 2020, I do feel like there's a lot of things coming out of this that are for us as a society and for us as individuals. And some of it we can't see right now.
Mm-hmm. We keep on nodding.
And so that I think is kind of like this universal thing for me. And then when I think of divine intervention, it's sometimes it's coincidence, but I think it's actually, you know, this very calm, but very powerful way of how the events played, you know, the timing, the people that come into your experience at that time who are to teach you something or to give you resources that come in front of you, no, books that fall in front of your lap, you know, at the right time. That is, to me, divine intervention. It's just the magic.
Yeah.
Have you always been, I feel like there has to be some sort of awareness and some sort of, yeah, just like keen awareness on when those things come in. Have you always felt aware of divine intervention / things coming into your life that click really well?
I don't think I've always appreciated it in that way. Mm-hmm. I think that I've always known, like, oh, wow, that is so cool how that happened. You know, mm-hmm. the universe conspired for me. But I never really, and I don't even know if I could have articulated that 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think now I just have so much appreciation and so much awe. You know, I don't mm-hmm. think previously I've always been in awe of just that kind of masterminding.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
And I think that we are part of that divine intervention too. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's just necessarily mm-hmm. something that's external and above us. Like, I think we are creating that. And mm-hmm. and I haven't always been aware of my own creation
totally.
And the power of my own creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. The agency that we have in inspiring what happens next.
Just quickly. Yeah, I agree. I work with clients and they're always just so kind of wowed and surprised at like how much actual agency that they actually have when they put it into practice, right? Because oftentimes we've been told like, well, this is just the way it is, right? And what I love about and why we wanted to talk with you is because we see you creating everything that's in your mind and in your heart, and you're making it a reality. And that's inspiring to us and a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I have like a whole list of things to follow up on here, but the last thing you said, I think, tells me what we're going to talk about next, which is the shift from focusing, and not to put words in your mouth, but the shift from focusing on abandonment to focusing on connection, or focusing on the what's wrong to how do we make something better. And you said way early at the beginning of this conversation that abandonment had been a theme for you for a while and that you're focusing on connection. Can you talk to me about the relationship between those two, when, if there was a time that you pivoted to focusing on connection, and just kind of what that story looks like and where you are now with it?
Yeah. So where it kind of like hit me was that I couldn't have like abandonment for me couldn't exist. Well, let me put it this way. Actually, connection for me couldn't exist if abandonment didn't. So if we never had heroes, or if we never had villains, we wouldn't know what heroes look like.
Oh, cool.
And so for me, like, if I love the idea of connection, I wouldn't know and appreciate and love and be inspired by connection if I didn't know what abandonment was.
Yeah. Okay.
Or if abandonment didn't exist. Mm-hmm. You know, we know the light because we have the dark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's just appreciating that they work together.
Yeah.
You know, those are, I don't know if that's yin and yang, but, you know, I mean, they work together basically to show the power of the other.
Yeah.
And so in time and over years, you know, when I have gotten into those wounds that where that abandonment comes up, mm-hmm. you know, I acknowledge it and I don't try to push it away anymore. I just try to accept it and go, okay. And look at all these abilities that I have for connection.
Yeah. I've heard it said that like it's in contrast that we discover what we want and what we want to explore next. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I see connection played out a lot in like the vibe of your dining room. When we walked in, I think we talked to like half a dozen people that we had never met before, including your staff. And speaking of that, and speaking like also as somebody who has a staff, I'm curious about how you share, how do I want to say this? How you invite people into sharing the energy that you want to share. Does that make sense? Like you may have a vision for how you want your guests to feel when they come into your dining room. Mm-hmm. How do you assemble a team around you that shares, you know, that is compatible in that way? Does that make sense?
So yes, totally. And you're talking specifically about the team that work here.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what I'm familiar
my,
with.
My team. Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't been easy and we haven't always got it right. And in fact, the first year of operating, we opened in April, and by October of that year, I seriously considered shutting down because I just did not feel like I was working amongst individuals that were like me. And really at the end of the day, it wasn't about them. Hmm. It was about me not coming into what I really wanted and who I really wanted and putting boundaries on things. And, you know, I was a brand new business owner and I'd never owned a business. I'd run teams before, but that was always about somebody else's concept, mm-hmm. not my own. Yeah. And so I was taking a little bit of like that corporate gen stuff and where I had that disconnect between, you know, this is what I did at work. And then I had this life. Mm-hmm. And I think I was trying to a little bit do that with my own business. Sure. And I was trying to quote lead from a place of what I had been taught in all this corporate, what rather than leading from where I've always wanted to be led from, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I hired, the funny thing is that in the corporate world, I hired often very well.
Okay.
But when because I was just doing it off the script for, you know, I was going off of somebody else's concept and da da da. But here I was making really bad hiring decisions and I had an imposter syndrome and I couldn't believe that anybody would actually want to work for me or work for Just Be Kitchen. And, you know, I had to go through my own development and appreciate like, oh yeah, people actually come to work because yes, they want to get paid, but they want other things too. You know, I mean, and I think that was really hard for me to understand, like, why would anybody want to come work for me or come work for this concept? This has been my baby for 5 years. Like, you know, so I had to get over that. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, that's a long answer, but
perfect. It
hasn't always been that I've been attracting team members that are aligned with me at all. Hmm. And I went through a lot of tears to the point where I was like, I'm done. Hmm. And then I started to say, okay, I'm not going to tackle this. And I fired my first person in October, November of that year. And I'm not going to say that felt good, but it put a big boundary for me in terms of what I wasn't going to accept. Mm-hmm. And just little by little, we've started to develop this team that is just, and now I feel like on a whole, we get people to apply to us where we're not doing a lot of the, you know, adverts replacement. You know, we get stuff coming in off the website and there's a lot of alignment.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe there's not skills alignment, but there's personality alignment and really that's skills you can train.
Totally. No, I get that.
Yeah.
You talked about, you know, crying and having this hard time. How did you get through it? You know, like as a business person, I feel like we oftentimes, you know, see everyone's successes, but it's hard to talk about those things that are really hard. Mm-hmm. How did you move through, you know, your first fire and how did you continue to build the strength and boundaries that you now have today and confidence that you have today? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah. So for me, I mean, and honestly, we're only 3 years old and I still feel, I mean, it's way different today than it was, but I had to sacrifice a lot of saying no to not spending time on myself. So I've had a lot of very quiet nights and social life is a little not that exciting, particularly in those early times when they were really rough, because if I just, you know, dashed from here to, I don't know, going out or not getting sleep or not taking care of myself, I was just worse off. So how did I cope? Was I just spent a ton of time with myself, a ton of time trying to love myself, ton of time trying to understand, ton of time in nature where I could process things. And that, you know, and I also talked to other CEOs to say like, hey, are you having this problem or am I the only one that's like kind of going through this? And, you know, one of my mentors was like, no, you know, this is the pimple on your ass that's never going to go away. You know what I mean? So, you know, like you get real feedback from people who are, you know, a few years ahead of you and have kind of been through this and like, oh yeah. And so I think talking to others in your industry or talking to others, you know, that are doing what you're doing and who are further along, is always very helpful. So you just kind of know like, oh, this is part of it. This is normal. I'll just get through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always love learning from people a couple steps ahead of me because if I don't need to go through, there's going to be inherent like heartbreak and hard times. But if it doesn't need to be as bad, I'm not going to fucking move myself through that, you know?
I mean, Tony Robbins talks about that, which is like really accelerating your time to learn. You know, like, why would you spend all this time researching things on yourself when you can go talk to others who've done it and you just completely, you know, reduce your suffering time. Totally. But I do think time on, I mean, for me, time on my own and working through stuff is so important. Self-care is really important.
Yeah. Cheers to
Beautiful.
That. Yeah. This feels like this whole area of transitioning from, like, I once was corporate and now I am mine. Like, this feels like a useful thread to pull on. And you talked about already a really interesting thing, which is the, like, how do I attract a team that is aligned with what I want to be making now? There are people listening who are going to be considering a jump like what you have made, from a place where they don't feel like a soul connection to their work to a place where they are doing what they are inspired to do. What else would you say to somebody who's looking at that transition, or maybe halfway through the transition and still feeling out like how to align with it as they go?
I'd say do it. Okay. I mean, here's the thing. The way I feel most empowered to make change in my life is by taking a little bit of action. So it may not take me, I might take a step forward and go, I'm not sure how that feels, but then I can just go a little bit sideways and then go a little bit forward and then go a little to the left. And then, but you know, action is what creates momentum. And it's a way to make you feel the most empowered that you're taking control of the situation. So it's not linear. You know, you're not necessarily going to go like this, but at least you're making progress. And that's what gives us a feeling of, in my opinion, empowerment and feeling like we're progressing in life. It's like, okay. Yeah. So that's, I mean, I would say just do it and just take small steps. You know, I think it's different. Some people just jump right into it and they're able to quit their job and do whatever. Like, that's not necessarily what I would recommend, but that wasn't right for me. We'll all have a different path to it, but just take a little bit of, just take a little bit of action. Maybe it's just taking a course into an area that you're interested in, whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love how, like, almost disarmingly approachable that is too. Like, take one step at a time. If that doesn't work, like, adjust slightly, participate in that feedback loop.
And now that, and I always love, like, the take one step at a time, micro habits, you know, lead to compounding change over time. I'm always curious, you said you're three years into this. I love, like, getting people energized to take that first step. I also am really also always curious about, what does year three, year four, year five look like? And how do you stay inspired? How do you stay grounded in your why to continue going? Because I feel like, you know, I'm 3 years into my, almost 4 years into my health journey of losing weight. And, like, it's just become a part of me now, but it's, how do you continue to stay inspired on a journey that is a long time?
So I think there's a lot of questions in there, so I'll try to tackle a few things. But I think, okay, so how do I stay inspired? There's two things. One is about this theme of taking time to give myself space. So, like, you know, 6 weeks ago, I went and spent a week in Buena Vista. The way I plan those days when I do that is it's very intentional. You know, I wake up, I go for a hike, I come back, I have two or three courses that I want to read or webinars that I'm going to watch. It's to spur ideas, basically. And so then I go and I swipe down, like, all my kind of goals and thoughts from that. And then I look at my goals for the year that I planned back in January before pandemic. And I'm like, okay, where are we with that? And how has that changed? What have I learned to date? So that's one way, is like really forcing myself to take space to spend time. Because I get really excited in those moments. Like, my mind just starts to go and I start to, you know, brainstorm and collaborate with myself, you know? Now, the other way to stay inspired is my team, because they have goals. Like, they have goals and aspirations and dreams. And when I speak to my top managers and I say, tell me what your financial goals are, tell me what, like, just random life goals are. And I can think of how I can provide that, or how Just Be Kitchen can help provide that and help them reach those goals, that inspires me. And then the last part is just my guests. Like, I can't even explain, when we see people, or when I hear people, or when they tag me on social media, or they'll send notes, or we get letters sent to the restaurant, and how we've changed somebody's life, or how we've made something easier for them or different, or, you know, they were able to go on a date for the first time, or they took their kids out as a family for breakfast for the first time. You know, those don't come every single moment of the day, but they are very inspiring when they do come. And mm-hmm. I cry very easily. Mm-hmm. And when I see guests come up to me with tears in their eyes saying, "You have no idea how this has changed my life." Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily what I set out to do. Like, sure. I didn't realize that would be part of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a very inspiring reason to continue to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congratulations, if I can say, like, having that kind of affirmation coming to you, that's huge. I'm not surprised given what I've seen of your work and the team around you, but that's awesome. And I'm delighted that you're getting that feedback from the community at large.
Oh, it's amazing. We're so blessed, because I'm not sure other restaurants get that as much, not because sure. of anything that they're not doing sure. right, but because I think there's so few people that could eat, you know, here, like, mm-hmm. you know, we're so niche, we're not, mm-hmm. we're mass market. So it really makes life far more enjoyable in the restaurant industry, because it's a really tough industry when you get that positive gratification from your guests.
Yeah, totally. No, that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. You talked a lot in that, or you used the word goal a bunch of times in the last bit. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me about your relationship to goals? Like, what is a goal to you, and is it important, and why?
Okay. So I'm really big on this. I choose. The short answer is goals are important, but I don't define myself by them.
Mm, okay.
So there are things that I can aspire to, I no longer judge my worth on whether I meet those goals exactly. Okay. So really, my goals look a lot different too now. So they're written in ways that are more like intentions versus, okay. you know, I used to write the goal like, I will achieve X amount of money this year.
Sure.
You know, it's not like that now. Now it's more, I love the feeling when I have total freedom to go wherever on vacation without worrying about the cost, you know, or something like okay. that. So I think about the things that I want to do, and I write those intentions in different ways. And I've learned that, you know, if I'm not so tied to a particular outcome, mm-hmm. then I give it the freedom to look in a way that I didn't expect. So I choose a word every year. I'm pretty big on this. I talk a lot about, I blog about it, and I talk about it on social media, is that a word of the year. And I have my team choose a word of the year too. My management team choose a word of the year. And I basically write my intentions for the year all around this word. So this year was thrive, which is, you know, in 2020, who chooses thrive? Oh, I mean, amazing. I chose it in January, obviously.
Yeah.
I looked at all of my, and I put them into buckets, and I, you know, I have like a relationship bucket and a professional bucket and a health bucket. And I look at the way thriving in all of those buckets looks. And that's how I do my like intention goal setting.
Yeah. That's extremely cool. I don't think I've heard someone talk about goals in terms of, I think the sentence you used earlier was, I love the feeling of going on vacation mm-hmm. without spending,
yes.
without worrying about the cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And making sure I understand it correctly. That's a goal to you, right? Like that feeling?
Yeah. So it's about the feeling behind the intention. Yeah. yeah. You know, like I, you know, if it's, and I'm just making this isn't necessarily mine, sure, but I'm kind of just using it as an example, is when, if you think about like, let's say if you have some health problems, it's like, I love moving in my body. I love the feeling of moving in my body in any way that I desire and not feeling any pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things.
That's amazing. Like to me, that means that
happens.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I'm restating what you're saying, but it's very clear to me that like focusing on the feeling, like that can manifest in a million different ways. And that mm-hmm. feels like freedom to me, which is not what I usually think of when I think of goals. So that's extremely cool.
Yeah.
You talked about the word thrive, which immediately connects me to your menu. For somebody who's never been to your restaurant, can you talk about how you name things and why?
Yeah. So it's always been that we name them after different states of well-being. Mm. So all the dishes are named after different states of well-being. Cool. And the process by which we do that is kind of fun. Like we go through a brainstorming session and we decide the dish and everything. Yeah. And if you are familiar with the menu, like it's all a play on traditional comfort mm-hmm. foods. It's not, that's what we do. We take the thing that you always craved, like biscuits and gravy or burritos, and then we convert that into 100% gluten, grain, refined sugar, dairy, soy, corn, peanut, legume free. And then we look at the dish. The dish is kind of there. And then I go, okay, what could we name this? And so I try to think about the feeling that you might get when you eat it. So our chicken and dumplings is called cozy because it's It's a feeling of coziness when mm-hmm. you have chicken and dumplings.
Yeah.
The burrito is called Fulfilled because I'm like, one of the reasons why I started this restaurant or the concept itself is because I was tired mm-hmm. of healthy food being about lack and sacrifice. Mm. And so,
cheers.
Yeah. So the burrito is very much about fulfillment. Yeah. And I wanted the menu to reflect fulfillment and abundance and not lack and sacrifice for being healthy. So our burrito is called the Fulfilled.
It's so good. We get it almost. If y'all are in Denver ever, you need to get the burrito from Just Be Kitchen. It is, I mean, we literally probably have it four times a week. Yeah, it's really great. Because yeah. it is so fulfilling and all of the ingredients are so incredible. Even like the homemade almond flour tortilla is just like,
yeah.
so fucking like, it's incredible. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. What does Just Be mean to you?
Yeah. So there's a quote on the wall that says, how do I find the one? And it says, just be the one. And that's how I got the name for the restaurant. And then for me, like the reason I haven't found the love of my life yet. And so I was like searching for like, okay, how do I find the one?
Yeah.
And so just be the one, like be what you, it goes back to us talking about recruiting a team and staff, whatever, yeah. Attract mm-hmm. what you are, mm-hmm. So yeah.
Just Be Kitchen is the only Whole30 certified restaurant in Colorado, correct?
The state of Colorado.
The state of Colorado.
Headquartered in the state of Colorado.
That's incredible, first of all. Yeah. Second of all, what has been your, I kind of want to briefly touch on your, you do have a Whole30 menu, and a lot of people who are listening came from the Whole30 Recipes Takeover. I just kind of want to know your kind of relationship with that, what inspired you to be a Whole30 certified restaurant?
Yeah, so it was really funny because the year before we became certified, I was like, okay, you know what? Our menu items are all like Whole30 and they're compliant. And so, we'll just put Whole30 compliance on there. And I didn't have an appreciation for the whole program. So I kind of reached out and I did reach out and I was like, hey, our menu is compliant. Just wanted to let you know we're going to publish this. mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And they've been amazing partners to work with. But it was, so I think I just basically looked at it and I was doing the Whole30 and I was like, oh, our menu is pretty much Whole30. Oh, we'll just have to like change that around, whatever. And just thought I could go out there and publish it, which mm-hmm. is really silly considering I have a marketing background. And then working with them has actually, like, it's been amazing because now we're very intentional when we mm-hmm. make dishes. So, what we launched back in October, we basically have most of those dishes are Whole30 compliant. So we'll make them and we'll say, and like we're doing the brainstorming or we're doing the taste testing. And I'm like, hey, if you just change this, make it, the beef on the Excite. I was like, let's just don't put honey in the marinade. Let's just throw some pineapple juice in it.
Thank you.
So there you go. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it just becomes Whole30 compliant. And so it's been great to be part of that program because now we can be approved and compliant with very minimal effort, really.
Yeah. I have a goal of, or I have a dream of there being a Just Be Kitchen in every state. So, I mean, because I did a Whole30 in September and it was just so amazing to have Just Be Kitchen just delivered to my place. It was incredible. I want to talk, I'm pivoting a little bit, actually quite a bit, but
sure.
I want to briefly talk about, you said you've lived more outside of the US than in the US.
Uh-huh.
Well, tell me about that. Like why?
my life has been a series of like from what I'm told, it doesn't feel like it to me, but it is when I look back on it, it's just risks. Hmm. And I just decided at a very young age that I wanted to live overseas. And so I did. I just moved over on a Friday and decided to, to live there.
Where did you go?
I was working at like a job in Boston and I just said to him, oh, I'm gonna quit. I'm gonna go live overseas. And he was like, what are you doing? And he was like, what, seriously? And I was like, yeah, I'll see you guys later. Give you my 2 weeks notice, whatever. And Wonderful. He goes, well, we really like you working here. We actually are opening up an office over there. Do you want to go work for them? Whatever. And I was like, sure, no problem. And yeah, I mean, that's literally just what I did. Hmm. Like there was no strategy to, I was thinking I'd like, I'll go live in Singapore or Germany or whatever. And, you know, this guy asked me, you know, do you care where you live? I was like, no, I don't care. I don't care less. So
have you always been sort of adventurer or risk taker?
Yeah, I never put it in the terms of risk taker until I tell the stories to people kind of say that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've always been, you know, I'm an Aquarian, a 4 on the Enneagram. It's like, just go to the beat of my own drum. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Do you lean it more into your 3-wing or 5-wing?
I actually go a little bit, I go into the 2.
Okay.
I go into a little bit of a needy 2 sometimes.
Got it.
And then I can go into 3 as well.
Got it.
I'm super curious about the relationship to that kind of choice, like to what other people would view as risk taking. Well, the relationship between you and that act and other people and that act, and bearing in mind that like the significance of a choice is between you and the choice, not between any bystander at a choice. Mm-hmm. What did it represent to you, if anything, to jump and go overseas? Like other people might find that risky. What did that feel like to you?
So it's weird because those moments don't feel like it. Sometimes it feels harder to choose a new pair of tennis shoes than to do these like really crazy big life things. So I'm sure when I think about like the big kind of courageous moves that I've done, I don't feel like I've analyze them in the same way that I have some of the smaller things that I've, I don't want to say big and small, that's just a label, but like maybe the less costly. Like, I mean, I applied for MBA school. I took 2 days off of my job and I applied for MBA school. I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. I just decided, you know, within those 2 days, there was only one school I wanted to apply to. If I didn't get in, no big deal. If I got in, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, I had nothing planned. And so, those are the kinds of, it's almost, I always joke about when we buy houses, like people go into houses like once, maybe twice before they throw an offer down, like the biggest purchase of their life, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't spend a lot of time in a home and then, you know, you're scrolling on Cotopaxi for 2 hours on which is the right windbreaker to get for $55.
Totally.
So it's kind of like that, where I feel like some of these moves in my life I've done without having it all figured out.
Sure.
And I've spent a lot more time on other things in my life trying to figure it out that it's just exhausting. But I just kind of just go for it. And I just think I know at this stage in life that the universe always has my back.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I resonate super hard with that. And I feel like there's a discussion series to be had around this or something, like the idea that there are next steps that feel natural and appropriate and just like the right thing for me to do. And that won't make any sense to anybody else. But for me, that's the thing to do. And not to project here, but like I have my version of that in my own life.
No, I love it.
I'm intrigued about this idea. We may have to revisit it.
Yeah, definitely people buy houses worth a lot of money and they've only been in it twice. I mean, I've always
thought
about
that. Isn't
it crazy? I'm like, wait, I would want to like stay in it like an Airbnb for a week to see how I like it. Like the different times of day, how the sun hits the kitchen. Like,
totally.
It's crazy. I was thinking about that recently. That's funny that you brought that up. Anyways.
We do. We'll try on outfits. I mean, I hate shopping, so I don't try on anything. But you know, we test things so much, but a house will just go in and be like, oh yeah, I'll just throw an offer down. Okay, no problem.
Totally. Or just like one test drive in a car. I'm like, I'm literally driving 10 miles. Like,
I came across the idea recently that it almost doesn't matter at all what you do. It's all about the energy that you conduct yourself with as you move through whatever it is.
I believe that. I love that.
And that's energy that you have. It seems like you move in every day. Like you said, well, I'm leaving, but it feels good to me. So I'm going to do this. And I have this idea. Okay, let's just see where this goes, you know? Yeah.
Okay, I've got a bunch of things circled on my notebook here. Okay, the one that's connected most immediately to this subject, like the notion of very purposefully quoted risks, is that of personal responsibility. And throughout this conversation, I've heard you talking about how, I mean, you haven't said it in so many words, but you've made it very clear to me anyway that you know that you are attracting your experience and that everything about what you're doing begins with where you're standing. And I badly don't want to put words in your mouth. So this is where I ask you the question. Mm-hmm. How does that feel to you? How do you describe that? Have you always felt that way? Or is that something that you had to learn, all of that?
Oh, I definitely think it's something that I had to learn.
Okay.
So I come from a background where, Oh, I have a challenging relationship with my mother. Okay. And while she is beautiful in so many ways, she has, just like we all do, you know, things that are not healed. And part of that was very much about a victim stance. Mm. And I think somehow that came on to me, and there was something sure. that I resisted in having that. Now, likewise, she also taught me very much about, you know, taking responsibility for myself mm-hmm. and hard, you know, just working hard and taking ownership. So yeah. it's interesting how, you know, there's very great things that she brought to me as well. But I have not always been able to know that we are such powerful creators. Mm, like okay. I've always had a sense of, you know, accountability and ownership. And even years ago, like I would, even in like grade school, you know, I was always like, well, what could I have done better to get, you know, better score on that test? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I've always thought that.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that we can be so powerful in our creation.
Yeah. What does creation mean to you?
I just think it's the birthing of an idea, of a thought. I think it's, I've noticed that sometimes I'm just thinking something or like a desire that comes through my mind. And I now appreciate and recognize that that's sending out, you know, to the universe, like, oh, Jen wants to try this flavor of ice cream, which is a terrible example because I don't even like ice cream, but just try to, you know,
perfect.
You know, like I have noticed that like I can think something that's a desire and all yeah. of a sudden that is introduced to me in a few days
yeah.
and just recognizing that. And I think honestly, we have to be aware of how powerful we can be in both positive and negative ways. Mm-hmm. And recently I've been having a lot of like really negative energy thoughts. You know, I had some personal trauma with a friend of mine who passed away and a nana who had a bad diagnosis. And so I was having a lot of this like thoughts in my head. And so like, I need to clear that right away.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways, you know, and I wanted to clear it because my mind was just, I'm like, I don't want to be creating this. I don't want to be creating this. And I just think we have to understand that the things that we say and that we think and that we do yeah. are mm-hmm. telling, it's like telling the universe, this is what I want. Totally. And it works both ways.
Do you find yourself moving through life in a way that encourages you to recenter in that truth a lot? Or do you feel like you are constantly, are constantly at battle? Here's why I ask is because I feel like people, you know, might be moving through life in a way that like they're trying to look for things that could go wrong. And a lot of people, you know, in this mindset space, they are creating those thoughts. So what are your thoughts? How do you recenter yourself when you get that doubt and when you get some roadblocks along the way? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it goes back to spending time with myself. Like mm-hmm. for me, so for others, I think the more busy they are, the better they can kind of cope with certain things. For mm-hmm. me, I'm not that. I know very well that I need to be on my own. I need to spend time in my sauna. Mm-hmm. I need to breathe. I need to do, you know, I've got a list of healers that I work with
cool.
with different modalities, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like really taking the time to do that, spending time mm-hmm. in nature. Mm-hmm. You know, hiking is just huge for me. So I have to do that to rebalance and to, mm-hmm. and I really try to understand two things. One, where is this coming from? Like, mm-hmm. is there a way to identify it? And two, I also think about, particularly when it's on that negative side, like what's yeah. the worst that can happen right now? Like mm-hmm. at the start of the pandemic, I literally thought, what is the worst thing? Okay. I lose my business. I lose my house. Mm-hmm. I went through all the like worst things that can happen. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, well, I can live with Mama Carol and Daddy Mike. I can, you know, I'll have this amount will get paid off if they take my house. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I literally went through and I was like, okay, if that's the worst, I'm prepared. You know, like
yeah, yeah.
I found that like thinking about it and all the like horrible horribleness mm-hmm. can actually make you feel a little bit better. I know that sounds maybe a little crazy.
That sounds like acceptance.
Totally. And I think moving your mind through the scenarios of like, what's the worst? Yeah. What's the worst that can happen? What do you have to lose? We've moved a lot in the last 6 years yeah. of being together. And I'm like, what do we have to lose? We don't like this place. Then we just move somewhere else. Like, you know, and that comes with a lot yeah. of privilege, but it also comes with a lot of choice that we inherently have. Every single humans have, you know, the ability to choose. What is your word of the year is thrive in 2020. And given this year, what does thrive look like and feel like mm-hmm. to you right now?
This is great because it's definitely different than I had planned in January. Yeah. However, it's not that far off. Like, and I'm not, so for me, like this has been a rough year for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like I've learned. I feel like there are days that I have wanted to cry, go into a hole. And then there's days where I feel like this was born. I was born to do this. Like I was born to run a business through a time like this. Yep. Like I have, we've been able to do things that have been on our plate for months, for years, that the pandemic accelerated. We've been able to put better processes in place. We've been able to look at things that we should have been tighter looking at. Like, like I do feel like I have thrived despite this. Now, not in all the ways that I had hoped or I had like kind of originally mapped out. But you know, like take fitness. Like I actually feel my fitness game has really thrived this year. And that was on, you know, because being a business owner, like my fitness has kind of changed and I had hypothyroidism. So I was like, this year is, I really want to get back into some of the fitness parts that I love. Well, honestly, you know, it doesn't look the same as it has in the past, but being at home a little bit more and having my home workout and oh my God, it's just changed my life so much easier than having to go to classes every day. So there's just things like you can thrive in so many different ways that you just didn't write down. So it just looks different, but I do feel like I'm thriving.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Amazing. That lines up for me with what you said earlier about your goal being a feeling. Like that, that
totally lines up. Yes.
Last two questions, we'll wrap this thing up. First question, what does an empowered Jen look like?
So taking action.
Cool.
So definitely taking action. I feel most empowered when I take small steps to go towards something. So again, it could take a long time. You know, I'm really into finding multiple revenue streams for myself. And so I'll have these ideas, but as long as I'm taking a little bit of action for those, then I know that I'm feeling empowered. Like I'm moving progress.
Cool.
So action and progress feels empowering to me.
I love that. What do you know for sure?
The universe has my back.
Amazing.
It's all working for me, not against me.
Hell yeah.
And if our listeners can just take that and run with it, I think their life will be a lot better. Period. us too. I mean, when we have that mindset, then our life has to be better because what we're focusing on, right? So I love that.
Hey, thank you so much for your time. I deeply appreciate you.
You
enjoyed this.
Y'all go follow Jen at Just Be Kitchen on Instagram. And if you're in Denver, order from this place. You won't regret it. It's so incredible. Thank you so much for your light and we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
This podcast is the work of Lightward, our company, named for that toward the light direction which informs every single thing we do, including money, which means, like everything else, the way we earn revenue as a company is not based on industry norms. It's based on what feels deeply right and aligned by passing through the door that feels like it has more behind it, not less. And the way we keep this podcast going is all Lightward. It's pay what feels good. It's an exchange of value between you and us. We're keeping conventional podcast advertising totally out of this. Here's how pay what feels good works. We give you this episode because it feels good to do so. And then you consider, honestly, what number of dollars this episode is genuinely worth to you. I do not care if that's $3, $1,000, or literally $0 and a heart emoji, as long as that trade genuinely makes your day better. The energy there is the entire point, and that is what we're building our business on. No advertisers, no selling your attention, just you and us, trading value in a way that builds us both up. So whatever the number, when you're done listening, head to empoweredhumanacademy.com and hit the Pay What Feels Good button. We use this policy across our company's work, and I'm excited to bring it here to the world of podcasts. This is us voting for the world we want to see. Y'all, the whole point of everything is to open up ourselves in all the fullness we are made for, and then to create with everything that is real and true and bright. That's the work of a life. That's what we're working on. And you're here because you feel that for yourself, too. And we believe in you completely.
Thanks for joining us this round. And hey, for every conversation in this series, including this one, we've assembled a downloadable set of notes, table questions, a journal prompt, and some action steps that you can use to bring the energy and the lessons of this conversation home to your own life. Head to our podcast website, empoweredhumanacademy.com.
Hey, thank you for being here. Now, get out there and do something that feels exactly like you. We will do the same.
And for us, that includes bringing you the next conversation. We cannot wait. Have an awesome, awesome day.